5 minutes after the hour. Good afternoon. How's everybody doing out there today? It's a little snowy, a little snowier than I thought. And I'm guessing, Colfax, from the weather reports, it's going to get colder by Saturday. And I'm very excited about this. I'm entering in the Sweetheart City Racing 5K. Is that 4K? 5K? 2K? NBA 2K? I don't know. It's all I know is it's going to be cold and I might die. But in other news, we didn't have Colorado State basketball last night. So here's my story. I get the little one to bed. I'm like, you know what? It's going to be a late game. It's a 9 o'clock game. So, all right, I'm going to have to see if I can stay up for this bad boy. So I'm lying in bed and I get my iPad out and I'm going to watch it on my iPad. So I pull it up. I check Twitter real fast. Check Twitter and I see my friend. My great friend, probably my best friend, Kevin Lytle, K-Light, as I call him now, tweets out that the game is not happening. Kevin, my friend, K-Light, you mind if I call you that? Is that a good nickname? What do you think?
That's a new one. I haven't had that before, so you're breaking new ground here. Let's do it. Why the heck not?
It sounds like a light beer, and I like beer, so it kind of works out. Kevin, so take us through this process, man. You, especially, you're hunkering down. You're getting ready to cover this game the way you normally do. And nope, suddenly you're told this game's not going to happen with CSU New Mexico last night.
Yeah, it was a weird situation. I'm actually, right before got on here, was kind of writing the breakdown of how I saw things. So I'll just run through that for you guys. You know, I usually get to the arena about an hour before tip. So I rolled in, you know, about 8 o'clock last night. You know, go in the stadium and everything's normal. New Mexico was going through early warm-ups. You know, there were some CSU guys out there doing the same. I did notice a lot of CSU guys were kind of sitting on the bleachers there. But, again, we're an hour before tip, so that's not unusual. Guys will get some shots up and, you know, sit around a little bit. So that wasn't that weird. But then, I don't know, 15 or so minutes later, you know, the Spidey senses started tingling. You start noticing some weird things. You know, Joe Parker came through one of the tunnels, CSU's athletic director, and he's on the phone and he calls over CSU's trainer, and they kind of go back down the tunnel with Parker on the phone. And so obviously that raises eyebrows, especially right now when the AD calls over the trainer. So that happened. Then all of a sudden, kind of a whirlwind of things. You started seeing some security guards kind of basically make it look like they're shutting down. Some TV crews started looking like they were doing the same thing, and that's actually how I got the first word. A member of the FS1 crew says, we were just told in our ear by the producer that the game is canceled. And sure enough, a couple calls, a couple texts, and that's the case. And obviously, a short time after that, the official announcement. Pretty weird. You know, Paul Weir and Nico Medved and Joe Parker all kind of huddled you know, in the middle of the court talking. It was just a weird situation, very strange. You know, we keep thinking we've seen all we'll see in this weird COVID year, and something new happened.
Yeah, you know, during football season, you know, we were talking, well, I guess it wouldn't be that weird given COVID if we have a day in advance where we don't have a game. That's transitioned to 30 minutes before tip-off. I mean, pretty much. It's amazing how even that transition has taken place, you know, from football to, well, if they don't hear anything by Thursday, to, no, we're all's good 30 minutes out, we're not playing this thing.
Yeah, and you know, there probably are others where this has happened this year. I don't know of them, but this is a very strange one. It also wasn't, you know, I think the thing people assumed was, oh, you know, New Mexico somehow just got word of a positive test, but that was not the case. What happened is, so during the afternoon yesterday, New Mexico announced that one of their assistants wouldn't coach because they had been in close contact with someone who tested positive. And basically what happened is the Larimer Health Department and consultation, you know, with all the various health groups basically deemed, because that coach had traveled and then found out that he had been in close contact. So they basically deemed him as a presumed positive test, which therefore basically meant the rest of the team were close contacts. And so even though they had all tested negative, obviously, as we know, you know, you can test negative one day, but it can take a couple days to show up. So they were deemed close contacts and deemed it basically unfit to play. So As far as I understand, New Mexico is now going to bus back because, you know, if they're COVID presumed positives or close contacts, they shouldn't be flying. So a crazy situation for sure.
Wow. And Kevin, so when did that coach kind of first find out? Is there a time specifically as far as when that assistant coach kind of got the gist of what was going on?
So from what I've gathered reading stories from the Albuquerque Journal, Jeff Grammer down there who covers New Mexico, it sounds like he found out sometime after arriving in Fort Collins that someone he had been around, I believe it's a family member. You can kind of do that math, I guess, anyways. But
sure.
Someone he had been around had tested positive. But like I say, as far as I understand, he had traveled with the team on their flight here before that. So once he found that out, then he basically was put into his own quarantine, separate from the team. But the health officials basically deemed that, too late in effort since they had just traveled.
Very interesting. Kevin, it's getting hazy with all these teams. You know, teams pop up and they have some issues, and then we kind of move on to the next week, and that's the story we kind of forget. New Mexico had some issues, right? I mean, you were tweeting about this even a week or two ago, wondering if this was going to impact the series even before we got to last night.
Yeah, it's been a strange ride for New Mexico. I mean, first off, most of the season they've spent in Lubbock, Texas, because local health regulations in New Mexico meant they couldn't play or even practice in New Mexico. So they recently got clearance that they can actually practice in New Mexico. They still can't have games. But last week San Diego State was supposed to play them, and New Mexico kind of just opted out of the series, I guess you could say. They didn't have enough healthy scholarship players to meet the threshold. I think it's 7 in the Mountain West. But it wasn't really a COVID shutdown. They had some players opt out already, so they were short on numbers and then had a couple injuries. So this series was looking very kind of sketchy to happen anyways. But then, over the weekend, Nico Medved told us, he said, hey, New Mexico has flights. They're going to be out here. And obviously they did get out here. So it was all systems go. New Mexico was very shorthanded. I think they had 7 scholarship guys and several walk-ons were here, but it was all good to go, and then it wasn't.
Wow. No, that one's, it's bizarre, man. I did not expect that in the least. Like I said, jumped on the iPad last night, thought I'd jump on Twitter while I'm waiting for it to load up, and I saw your tweet. It's like, well, what am I going to do now? I'm awake now. So that was interesting. How about the entire Mountain West? Talk about this Mountain West race. It's crazy. It's nuts to see who's going to finish this thing. I guess it would have been tonight, right? The Utah State-Wyoming game. They postponed their series. I believe postponed is the right word. Not that COVID's been ideal for anybody, but talk about a conference that I think a lot of people nationally are paying attention to, and to see who's going to finish this thing, I think is pretty compelling stuff. So obviously it's unfortunate no matter what with COVID, but especially given the situation for this conference.
Yeah, exactly. And the Mountain West, I don't want to say it had been smooth sailing because obviously there were issues, but things have been going pretty decent. But now this week you have CSU shut down, not because of CSU's issues, obviously, but they're not playing right now. They're a top 3 team. Utah State couldn't finish their series last week, and now they're not playing this week against Wyoming because of what appears to be a COVID issue at Utah State, even though no one will officially say that. So you have 2 of your top 3 teams shut down, and we're, a month away from the conference tournament. So it's worrisome to have all this happening right now. And then, like you say, just the basketball race itself, there's so much left to happen that we hope we can get everyone on the court. I expect CSU will play sometime either later this week or early next. They'll get a game, but so uncertain right now.
Yeah, have you heard anything as far as, the conference tournament, we've discussed it randomly, if that's even going to happen, if it makes sense. Have you heard anything, Kevin, that would lead you to at least think about it and wonder if the tournament itself is actually really going to happen?
Yeah, there have been a lot of conversations, a lot of talk. Leon Rice at Boise State has very publicly said that he thinks they should cut down the amount of teams in it and basically protect the top teams that have a chance at the NCAA tournament. Everything I've heard suggests that's not in the plans, and everything suggests that it's going to move forward with every team planning to participate. But I would certainly think, you know, some of the things in these couple weeks will at least cause conversations to be happening. But no, I still expect the conference tournament to go, because the rest of the conferences seem to be planning that. And kind of like we saw with football, who's going to be the first?
Yeah, no, I think that you're exactly right. We can't really project too far, because something brand new happens as far as COVID-related and in the sports world every single day, so it's tough to do that. Kevin, while we have you here, I wanted to get your thoughts on, well, Steve Adazio a bit. I know you were on the Zoom call the other day, and I mean, it's you know, new offensive coordinator. We align. We have the same kind of view of the offense. Yeah, that's fine. Whatever. I guess we'll see. The big pickup for me, I guess, was the quarterback situation, as it is with most college football teams. Does it sound like Todd Santayo is going to be the guy, or is that just kind of who that's the first guy no matter what right now because of his experience last year?
Yeah, no, everything basically since the end of the season, you know, as soon as the season ended, pretty much assumed Patrick O'Brien would be gone for a number of reasons, and that proved true. So pretty much since that point, everything that I've heard, both publicly and kind of, you know, internal private conversations, is that Todd Santayo is very likely going to be the starter game one for the 2021 season. Steve Adazio did leave the door open a little bit to maybe add someone after spring ball, depending, but it sounded more like, you know, add a veteran backup for insurance type of thing, not necessarily add, you know, a starter. So I very much expect Santayo to be the starter, barring obviously injury and barring, you know, anything really shocking happening, you know, in spring ball or fall camp.
Anything else that stood out to you in that presser?
Nothing huge. I mean, John Budmeyer, the new offensive coordinator, really young guy. I'm 31, young for that position at least. It seems like they kind of have the same philosophy. It's going to be, you know, a lot of ground game and try and be selective in picking the right times to get your big shots downfield in the air. And, you know, obviously it all sounds good and like they're on the same page right now. We'll see what happens. But I think that's obviously going to be the big thing to watch. It's a pretty significant transition in CSU's offensive style that's happened since the Mike Bobo era ended, and watching how that evolves next, I think is going to be the big thing for everyone to keep watching.
It is. And listen, I like running the football and I like playing great defense. I like that to watch. For me, I like that. But it is very hard for me to look at the NFL and see all these CSU receivers running around making plays for their team, and it's coming back to CSU. Oh, wide receiver U. Well, we're getting rid of that. Like the one thing, at least at the national level, that made Colorado State football somewhat famous, somewhat popular, sounds like it's going bye-bye. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, that's my thought. That, you know, the coaches at least publicly disagree with that. They, you know, they say that the passing is still part of their attack, but obviously that was not totally on display in 2020. You know, we'll give a little bit of the benefit of the doubt just because it was such a weird condensed season. But yeah, I certainly think it's more an old school style. I guess my biggest concern is that's not really how you win in college football right now. I mean, look at the Alabamas of the world. They've all gone, you know, to these high tempo, high powered offenses. Obviously you're working with different level athletes, but that is how most successful teams in college football are doing it. But we'll see. I mean, CSU did have a very strong defensive front, and start with that. If you can get the same kind of mentality and execution on the offensive front, and then maybe you're back in business.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Football certainly has a big question mark. Colorado State, other than, you know, postponing games and such, we're pumped to see what this team does. Are they looking for a game this week, or do they just wait and see what happens?
Yeah, so CSU right now doesn't play again until a week from Saturday against Nevada, so that's a long time off. They do not want that. So they're definitely looking for a game. I mean, already last night when I was talking to the coaches as they were kind of sitting there a little bit shell-shocked, they were already kind of working some of the phone lines, seeing who they could get. So I would expect, I think, late this week could be possible or early next week. You won't want to go into too far next week, you know, and play, you know, basically right before you play Nevada. But I think anywhere from, you know, Friday of this week to Tuesday of next week, there could be a game. And I'm going to put a name out there that I don't know if it has a chance, but BYU has two opponents have to cancel as well over the next week or so. They're about number 30 in the net ranking, so it's potentially a game that could benefit both schools resume-wise, and obviously it's a fairly local matchup, so you could, whoever travels, you can make work fairly easily. So that's one that I would keep in mind. Obviously, who knows what will happen, but that's one I would keep an eye on.
Wow, very interesting. That would be amazing. That would be awesome for Colorado State for sure. Kevin, appreciate you doing this on short notice. It wasn't as late a night for you as you thought, so you maybe got some sleep, so I'm happy for you.
It was a little earlier evening, and I may have gone home and had a beverage. We won't say what type, but just a beverage, and enjoyed the night a little bit.
Not a K-Lite or anything. That's not out yet, but soon.
No, of course not.
Kevin, appreciate you, man. Love what you do, and thanks for jumping on here with all of us here at KFK. We appreciate your time, my friend.
Thanks, Brady. Good talking to you.
All right, Kevin Lytle, or as I like to call him now, K-Lite of the Fort Collins, Colorado one. All right, Colfax, I got big story I'm going to get to. We'll get to that later. Our Power to Play Sports poll question, we'll get to that later. I got breaking news. Troy Rank of Denver 7 reports sources close to A.J. Boye confirms Denver Broncos have released the veteran cornerback. The move saves the Broncos $11.6 million in cap space with no dead money. Move was expected after a season defined by injuries. And then, of course, he had the PED suspension as well. So, if that doesn't tell you, even more so, I think a lot of us suspected Boye, maybe. But you got Bryce Callahan. You liked Michael Ojemudia as the rook last year. Patrick Surtain it up. I'm almost certain that they will pick a corner in the first round of the NFL. Okay, yeah, okay. On that note, 23 minutes after the hour. I'm sorry, Colfax. I'm sorry. I had to do it. Mark Johnson joins me to talk Buffs a little bit later on. And no playing of the national anthem at basketball games? We'll be right back.
Keep up with your favorite high school basketball teams with Preps Radio on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Ward from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
Well, A.J. Boye's gone, and it's not a big shocker. I mean, I kind of went either way. I didn't know if they were going to hang on to him, and if you did keep him, then you might. But he didn't really – he had his moments, for sure. But between injuries and then the PED thing at the end, the cards were kind of stacked against him. So, to me, it points to picking up a corner. I mean, I've already said that. I feel very strongly that they're going to go with a corner. There's a lot of free agents I want to go through throughout the day. Throughout the weeks, really, we're going to be busting into that, kind of my wish list. First and foremost, Justin Simmons is a priority. You don't do anything else until you take care of Justin Simmons. Colfax, while we're here, we got Mark Johnson coming up in about 4 or 5 minutes. Let's get to the big story of the day. Dunt, dunt, dunt. That's the big story of the day. Presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. The Dallas Mavericks have stopped playing the national anthem before home games at owner Mark Cuban's direction. He decided to pull the plug. They're not going to resume the tradition of playing the national anthem. Cuban didn't really talk about it. He declined further comment. He made the decision after consulting with NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. The Mavericks did not announce the change in policy, but the national anthem has not been played before any of their 13 preseason and regular season games at the American Airlines Center this season. No players, coaches, or staffers from the other teams have mentioned the change, according to team source. Now, the NBA's rulebook requires players to stand during the national anthem. But I guess if there's no national anthem, they don't have to stand. Now, I'm more or less at this point where it's doing at this stage is causing drama. And I'm not belittling the national anthem. But I mean, it became a thing in sports. And let me say this on this side before I say whatever. Those protesting during the national anthem saying, well, it's not about the troops. Well, the national anthem began being played at a sporting event because of the troops. 1918, September 5th, during World War I. It was a game between the Sox and the Cubs. Babe Ruth was still a member of the Red Sox. This was a fairly big game. Both teams won 6 of the last 15 World Series. The crowd couldn't care less. They weren't cheering. They were somber because there had been so many deaths. More than 100,000 soldiers had died. And in fact, the day before this game in Chicago, which is where they were playing, 4 people had died in a bombing that took place. And several other individuals were hurt. So to say that the crowd was disenfranchised was an understatement. So randomly, during the 7th inning stretch, the Navy was there. Members of the Navy with instruments started to play the Star-Spangled Banner. Red Sox infielder Fred Thomas turned and gave it a salute. The crowd began to sing. It was a magical moment. In 1931, they decided to make it official. Well, here's something for you, Colfax. Orioles GM was frustrated because he looked around during the national anthem and started to see people, kids, whatever, talking and snickering during the national anthem. He thought it was disrespectful, so he put an end to it. Stop playing games in Baltimore, or the national anthem in Baltimore. Stopped it. MLB stepped in and made him play it again. I don't know where Mark Cuban's coming from, but I wonder if it's kind of where the Orioles general manager was coming from. Now, I know Mark Cuban. In 2017, he said he expects his players to stand for the anthem and support it. 4 years later, he said, I want them to voice their opinions. I don't care if they're raising their fist. To be honest with you, Colfax, the national anthem before a game has become a South Park episode. I went to a graduation a few years ago, standing next to the guy, and he's standing up, put his hand over his shoulders. He's looking around, though. Who's not standing? He's not paying attention to the national anthem. It's kind of like that dude in church making sure everybody's praying. Your eyes are open. Hey, kid, your eyes are open. You're not praying. There's no way you're talking to Jesus right now, okay? Hey, Sheila, same thing. It's become a South Park episode. You can't control people. They've tried. You can't. You're not going to control whether somebody puts his hand over his chest, hands behind his back, kneels, talks, chews gum. I mean, I was always taught you don't chew bubble gum before the national anthem. You don't wear a hat. You stand up. You don't talk. You stare at the flag for the entire time. It doesn't always happen. Not everybody does it. I have the utmost respect for our country and our soldiers. But the bottom line is, this is so damn controversial. Take it away. Doesn't mean you can't play the national anthem anymore. But if players are kneeling and you're frustrated with it, listen, it's become a political statement. What have I always been consistent on, Colfax? And I know I'm in the minority now, but can't you just have sports be sports and politics be politics instead of dividing us? And I do think that the national anthem is such a source of division and hate. Now, no, not the national anthem itself, but the playing of it before a sporting event. And think about it. It's not like you go to a Shinedown concert and they blare out the national anthem before the concert begins. The sports is like the only big major event of gathering and rodeo, I guess, but that's still considered sports, where they play the national anthem. So, you know what? At this stage, I don't really have that much of a concern one way or the other with it. It's become that way. So Cuban wants to do that, fine. But I'm just telling you, it's been around a while. Some sports picked it up and moved on and picked it up again, whatever. But ultimately, to argue on those that are complaining about not playing the national anthem, I will give you this. This was about the military from the beginning. And when those protesting saying, no, it's not about the military, well, that's what this presentation was designed to do. Was to bring us a moment of togetherness and basically say, hey, it's going to be all right. There's bad things going on. It's going to be all right. But it's not that way anymore. It has become a spectacle. It's become a source of drama. And for that, whatever. 33 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. When I come back, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. The Buffs have been back in action for a couple of games, and they've won a couple of those games, too, and they're needing to. This is a weird time for Buffs. They got Stanford tomorrow. We'll talk to Mark all about that coming up next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Here, Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back. This is The Whole Show. We are live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. And joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, our Buffs insider. And, well, Mark, every team's dealing with it, and some teams deal with it right before tip-off, getting a game postponed or whatever. But for the Buffs, getting right back in business after that, taking care of Arizona, and then, whew, running away with it against Oregon State the other night. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Yeah, they gave us a little bit of a heart attack in that Arizona game because they surrendered another lead, but did make the plays down the stretch to pull that one out. That was a big home victory. And then, Monday night was just kind of a walk in the park. Holy cow, you win by 29, and there was never a moment when that game was even remotely in question. So, they're playing some pretty good basketball right now. You know, and just because they've gotten two straight wins here doesn't mean we're kind of forgetting about Washington and Utah and what they did or didn't do in those ball games and stuff for those losses. They got to be on guard against that kind of thing happening moving forward here, because now, Brady, they start a four-game road trip, and then they've got two at the end of that at home against UCLA and USC to wrap up the regular season. And of course, we're talking postseason already.
Yeah, so Mark, going back to I want to talk about the Arizona game too, but Oregon State, it's not like they're that bad of a basketball team. I mean, they've put together some fairly big wins this season.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, they beat USC at home. They went one at Oregon. And so, no, they've had some very good games this season. So, you know, it just goes to show you, on any given night, who knows what's going to happen. And they were having a tough time. That was their third game in 6 days, because they played Thursday, Saturday, Monday. And so that, you know, that probably has something to do with it, and a few other factors. Just every once in a while, things aren't going to work. We've seen that, and it certainly happened with Oregon State. But that's what good teams like Colorado are supposed to do. Then, if the other team's not having its best night, put your foot on the gas, blow them out, and get out of there with a win.
Yeah, no question about it. Finding a way to get the job done. And I thought those, especially those last two, and like you said, Mark, there's some big games coming up. But I thought these last two games were huge, especially, as you said, holding on to that Arizona game. Because last year, right around this time, and I know that it's a weird year, it's hard to compare, but the Buffs were rocking, and then they hit that wall. So after you lose to Utah, you're wondering, all right, how are they going to respond? The ASU game's postponed. They responded in a big way, coming up with a big hang-on win against Arizona and then blowing the doors off the place against Oregon State. I thought that was the last couple of games were some pretty big tests for the Buffs.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And there's another one coming up on Thursday night. I mean, there'll be some separation in that ball game because Colorado's got four losses. Stanford's got five in the Pac-12 conference. And so you want to separate from them right now. And that's what makes the Utah game so hard to swallow, because if the Buffaloes would have done what they were supposed to do with 8:46 remaining and up by 19 points, you hold on. Even if it did tighten up, you hold on and get that victory. You're only sitting with three losses, and UCLA and USC are tied for first place with two. You'd be right there, and that's kind of what I thought was going to happen. I thought the Buffs would come through this homestand and go on undefeated through the homestand, go back out on the road, have themselves in a great position. You know, but now they've hurt themselves. So now they're sitting two games back in the loss column. as the Bruins and the Trojans are 9-2. Colorado has only got the four losses, and so they got some ground to make up. But again, this season does end with the LA schools coming to Colorado, and so that could end up depending on if Colorado takes care of business. Now these four road games, they've got the Bay Area schools, and then they're at the Oregon schools, and so there's some tough games in there. But you do what you are supposed to do or need to do, and all of a sudden that last weekend becomes enormous once again.
Yeah, and you look at the schedule ahead, with USC, CU's there, as you mentioned, their last game is against UCLA. So you're exactly right. If the Buffs can hang on, if they can do everything they're supposed to do here, they're at least going to put themselves in a position to come up with some huge wins. Who knows? Maybe do the unthinkable. Maybe take this thing in the regular season, but still a lot of work to do yet.
Yeah, without question. And, you know, it's going to get interesting. Ted did a local radio interview here in town this morning, I heard, and he was talking about, you know, the hosts were getting kind of the cart ahead of the horse and started talking about the postseason, and Ted warned them, hey, there's a lot to go on. But he said, here's the thing you got to remember about once we get the postseason. The way the NCAA tournament sets up, your team has to test negative 7 consecutive days. And so he said, here's what's going to be really interesting once we get to the postseason. Is not only do you have to earn your way into the tournament, but you have to be able to play in the tournament. And it's going to happen to somebody. Knock on wood right now, it doesn't happen to Colorado. But, you know, someone's going to get in there, and things aren't going to go well from a testing standpoint, and they're going to pull you right out of that thing. And so it's really going to be kind of a fascinating last 2 or 3 weeks of the regular season, get into conference tournaments. The Pac-12 is going to have its tournament in Las Vegas, and then the entire NCAA tournament is going to be in Indianapolis. And so it's really going to be kind of interesting to watch.
Mark, do you get the sense, like, I'm paying attention up north with what happened with CSU in New Mexico last night.
Sure.
It just feels like basketball teams are walking and there's like a minefield. And at any minute, they step on it, boom, that ends that game, and it probably ends a week or two for you. And now it's not just COVID. It's contact tracing. Did you know Aunt Sheila who knew Uncle Tommy that got it? So, and you and I've talked about this quite a bit on this program, how difficult it is to navigate through this. But if you're Coach Boyle, do you just feel like at any minute you're going to get a call, you're going to get some kind of a report that, hey, man, you're going to have to stall out here for a couple of weeks, especially when this conference is really heating up?
Well, every coach in America is thinking that. I mean, they're every single day, and I've talked to a number of them, they're waiting every day. The testing is coming down. Okay, we're good for today. Okay, we're good for today. I mean, that's what happens with these guys every single day right now. And then if somebody does end up getting a positive test, who were the tests or who were the tracers around them? You know, what did things look like in terms of who they were mingling with? And so, it's a fascinating deal. And it's, like I said, going to be really interesting to watch down the road of this regular season. And then think about, right now you've got students coming back to the University of Colorado and many campuses around the country. So up to this point, in large part, many of these teams have kind of been in a bubble. And now you're going to have students coming back. You know, I teach a class at CU, and I've got the option now to start meeting in person with my class coming up beginning next week. And so, student athletes are going to have those same options. And so, you know, you wonder, do athletic teams say to their athletes, hey, no, you're going to keep doing virtual classes up until we get through the end of the regular season here and get into the tournament? And so there are a lot of odd landmines, if you will, in this entire deal.
Yeah, no question, Mark. Keeping track of it has been one. I will get a breaking news report, and then 5 days later, I'll forget about it because it's a new breaking news report with a different team. So right. It's been one thing to go through. How about Stanford? When you look at obviously Oscar De Silva, a sensational player, they're going to have to get through. It's a team that's, what are they? I think 12, 13 wins on the season. So, like we said, the Buffs have some games coming up here where they can't look too far down the wire because there's some big one's coming up, and Stanford's that next test in front of them.
Yeah, without question, this is a very big game. Colorado got them at home, obviously, a few weeks ago. Oscar De Silva, you know, he's making a strong argument to be player of the year, along with guys like McKinley Wright and others. And so, he's obviously kind of the in the middle of everything they do. I mean, he's a very skilled player, just like his little brother is, who had a big game for the Buffaloes just the other night, and Tristan De Silva. And so, it's not a one-man team there. I mean, it's a deep squad, a talented squad. They're a very good defensive squad. So, yeah, that's certainly a great test coming up tomorrow night.
Yeah. Mark, what time does coverage get going for you guys?
We get things underway. So it's a 5 o'clock Mountain Time game tomorrow, so 4:30 on the Colorado Basketball Network is when we get things underway. And of course, you got Cal over the weekend. But, yeah, it's fun time of year, man, because, you know, they always say in football, Coach Barnett always said, the games they remember you play in November. Now, I don't know what rhymes with February, but it's the same kind of theory, at least in the month of February, as you're heading towards March 1st in the tournament.
Well, the Buffs can keep this thing going. They won't have any issue at all, but I know they've got bigger things on their mind when it comes to the conference, first and foremost. But, Mark, we'll appreciate following along with you, my friend.
All right, sounds good.
All right, that's Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Stanford's not a bad team. The Buffs beat Stanford 77-64 last time around, but Stanford's a decent team. You know, they're right there in that middle of the pack, maybe a little above that middle of the pack in the Pac-12 standings. So the Buffs got to do it here. And I know I sound like I'm beating a dead horse, but I am very nervous for the Buffs because this time last year is when the wheels fell off. I think, well, maybe even, yeah, the last five games, what do they have? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. They have seven games left. It's right around the time where the wheels fell off. And these weren't against the big teams. These were against the not-so-great teams. So maybe that helps them keep their focus on the prize here because UCLA, USC are coming up, and those are the teams that are in front of them in the Pac-12. So we'll be paying attention to their records as well as the Buffs going into it. All right, our Power to Play Sports poll question is, Oliver, you're hearing the rumor mill, sir, man. I mean, Russell Wilson is now in the trade mix rumor. I don't ever see that happening. But Deshaun Watson's the other big one. Those are the two big names. Aaron Rodgers feels like less of a possibility than any of them. So I'm not throwing him in here. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Who would you rather have? Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson? If you could, you know, same deal, whatever. You get one of them, whatever. We're not arguing that today. Which one would you take? Obviously, one's quite a bit younger. The other has achieved quite a bit more, winning a Super Bowl in Russell Wilson. Who would you take? Go to the wholeshow.com. That's our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. 49 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. When we come back, I'll wrap up hour number one. I got a lot to talk about. Short time to do it. Free agent wish list. What did Dalton Reisner, great friend of the show, what did he say that has people wondering about his commitment and the Broncos' commitment to Drew Locke? We'll be right back.
We have the games. Go to 1310kfk.com to see our preps, college, and pro game schedules on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310KFKA. It's a party in Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Oh, now hold the phone there, Holigans. Wow, I mean, let's see what the vote looks like. You guys are going with Deshaun Watson for the most part. The Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson? Okay, no, never mind. It's back to 50-50. It was Watson was running away. It was over 70, like right before the commercial break. Watson is 25. How many times has he been to the playoffs? I want to say two. Wilson is 32. But I think Tom Brady's proving that age is just a number. What is Tommy? Is he 43? Tom Brady's 43, so do you see Russell Wilson won't play to be 43? He runs and moves and gets hit way more. Why am I even talking about this, right? Well, Russell Wilson has never been very vocal about any issues that he might. Russell Wilson's the nice guy. He's Mr. Unlimited, Colfax. You know Mr. Unlimited. You've heard about him. This weird persona that he created that nobody really cared about.
His name's Mr. Unlimited.
Like, that was weird, and I never really got the theme of the song or the video he did, but whatever. Now he was talking to reporters via Zoom. He said, like any player, you never want to get hit. That's the reality of playing this position. Ask any quarterback who wants to play this game, but at the same time, it's part of the job and everything else. I think the reality is that I've definitely been hit. I've been sacked almost 400 times. So we've got to get better. I've got to find ways to get better. He was asked if he was frustrated with the Seahawks. He laughed nervously and said, I'm frustrated about getting hit too much. I'm frustrated with that part of it. At the end of the day, you want to win. You can read between the lines. He's the world's nicest dude. Russell Wilson he's the kind of guy that he'll be there for you, man. He's not going to put you down. He's going to tell you what he means. But for him to even say that, that's him saying, yeah, they need to build around me. So now, you know, Jeremy Fowler's coming out from ESPN saying, all right, no, Seattle's making it pretty clear we're not going anywhere there, but there's a trend going on in the NFL. Quarterbacks want more say. They want more say in the offensive line. They want more say in the coaching staff. And as you saw with Houston, the president just stepped down. There's more to this now. There's a lot of things to discuss when it comes to, that quarterback's not going anywhere. You might not have say in that. We're going to talk about that next. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy.